And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He took the cup and gave thanks, and said, take this and divide it amongst you. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. So now, one of the ways that we often deal with or hear about wine and the usage of it's for the Lord's Supper, right? And you see that. You see that brought out out in the world and out in religion many times. He makes it clear that it is the fruit of the vine. You cannot get wine directly from the fruit of the vine. Mankind has to deal with it. Mankind has to have an influence or a change or do something to that fruit of the vine to turn it into wine. And so the principle here that you can lay out, even with just, I mean, there's obviously many other verses that we can go to, many of which I'm forgetting at this exact moment. But the principle of the teaching is that it's pure fruit of the vine that's being brought out for the Lord's Supper. And so one of the ways that that is taught that the Lord's people partake of wine, you see this in the Catholic Church, is through, right, what they call communion. Well, it's clear that in the Lord's Supper, wine isn't there. Wine isn't a part of that. Let's go over to... So let's go to Revelation chapter 3. I'm sorry, I want 1 Peter. I want 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. This is a commandment to people of God that we have to be sober-minded. And in order to have a sober mind, you can't be inebriated. You can't have alcohol to be a part of your mind, right? If you're going to be sober-minded, if you're going to be aware of what is happening around you, serve the Lord. It's not something that that we can have in our lives and be a part of. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are really humble, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. What is the result of the use of alcohol? Typically, it results in me becoming an unruly person, or I would become an unruly person if I used alcohol, right? If I'm going to be unruly, I'm going to be warned about that behavior.
All right. So, John chapter 4, verse 4-6. The couple of things that we teach and we emphasize a lot is the effects of alcohol, and they are negative. I don't go down that road very often. John chapter 4, Brother Eli, would you like to read verse 46?
So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum.
And isn't this religion's favorite scenario?
Talk about that wedding because Jesus was with alcohol.
Yeah, and even he made the water and the wine. And if God didn't want us to drink wine, then why did Jesus make it?
Jesus got wine to drink.
And for us in the New Testament church, we learned that there's the context and rightly dividing and study the whole counsel of God. So we don't need Strong's Concordance, and we don't need Webster's Dictionary, and we don't need history and etymology. I like using them, they're fun to me. But we can just look at the doctrines in the scripture to see how God behaved without them. But you guys got to know, as we've done to the church member, be careful with the word. Be careful with the word. Understand, you know, this is Middle English. King James, it's Middle English. That was a long time ago. So don't just assume a word is a word. Pay attention to the context and understand who you're dealing with. Who's Jesus? He's God. Okay, so that's kind of one of the first things I want to look at. Deuteronomy 33. So Jesus is God. How does God handle alcohol? It's Hebrews 13:8. What does that tell us?
He said, yesterday, today, and tonight.
Okay, so does he say Jesus, the Lord, Jehovah, the Son of God? Has he ever changed?
No.
So he's the same. Same doctrine, same mind, same teaching. The word settled in heaven. Deuteronomy 33 here. Let's see. Brother Nathan, Daniel, Nat, Nate. Let's see. Let's do 26 through 29.
There is none like how to God.
Okay, hold on. Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm right.
There is none like unto the God of Jerusalem, to rise up upon the heaven in thy help and thy excellency on the God. The eternal God is thy refuge and thy underneath, and thy power the everlasting arms. And he shall cut out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone, the fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land. For corn and wine. Also, his heaven shall drop down the dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like to so feeble, saved by the Lord the shield of thy heart, and who is the Lord of thy excellency. And thy enemy shall be found lying in the country, and thou shalt tread upon their heights.
All right, I forgot to give out the homework. Thank you, brother. Two page, double space, 12 point, one scripture reference. Why does God prohibit alcohol for church members? Why does God prohibit alcohol for church members? That's the whole. All right, now let's back to this. So what did God give Israel? Right? So we do a little bit of the, I'm going to tell you the story. They were slaves for a long time, and they cried out to God, and God said, I'll free you. They picture of salvation, they had baptized under the clouds and under the sea, and then they came to the mountain, they received the word of God, and God had an intent. Where was he going to take them? To the promised land. God was going to put his people in a land with corn and wine. So how does God feel about wine?
What is wine?
All right, so since you asked, wine is tiroge. I think maybe, I don't know. Roche? Roche?
From
the Fancy? Sense of expulsion, lust of fresh grape juice has just squeezed out. By implication, and very rare, fermented wine. New wine, sweet wine. That's your definition. All right, so let's look at Isaiah 65:8. What's that?
My corn whiskey.
Yeah. Just a little moonshine.
Hello, Nathan.
Yes.
This is one of those subjects when you are talking with somebody that wants to just practice wine for the Lord's Supper, they're going to try to pull in a bunch of arguments outside the Bible. Because the Bible, as you're bringing it out, God makes it pretty clear what his thoughts are on it. This is one of those things where, because they're going to say a lot of really stupid things.
Yes.
A lot of things that, it's like, historically, I know that that's not true.
Yes.
And I can find history that shows that it's not true.
Yes.
But then we have their history versus my history.
Yes.
So this is one of them, you got to stay in the Bible.
That's the reason for the home. Because I want you guys to think about that question. Why does God prohibit? Because so far, Brother Reagan, he did the best that he can on the spot, talked a lot about being sober. I don't drink to get drunk. And I don't get drunk when I drink. So soberness is already there. I don't have to worry about being sober. And that's really not what that word means anyway. And then there is, alcohol doesn't affect everybody the same way. And we have this discussion, I've mentioned it here before. We've got Wild Ride. And it is the happening spot in Prineville. It is a bar. People go there every night. The Society of Prineville, they go there and they drink alcohol. And they wake up in the morning and they go to work and they do their job. It's productive. And economy makes their monies. And everybody's wealthy. And there's big, giant, expensive trucks in the parking lots. People are not ruining their lives drinking alcohol every day. We got to get off of that. Does alcohol ruin your life? Yes, we've got plenty of Proverbs, but why does God want his church to stay away from it? And then we go back to this Deuteronomy and these examples. We'll find out God never gave them out. That wasn't part of what God gave them.
Okay. Let's think about this when you first brought this up. And if people aren't aware, I hope everybody in this room is aware, but our world, the United States, where you live in, this is such a massive subject. This is so common.
It's huge.
Anybody that, 98% of everybody you come in contact with, no problem with it.
Yeah.
It's common. It is used. It is known. So you better know what the Bible talks about.
Yes.
Alcohol.
Yeah. And but you
will face it.
Brother Jacob, and I think I shared this here before too. So you guys, you and Brother Dan, dealt with a church said Hall in Terrebonne. And I know the family. And they were having such a hard time. The son came down from Alaska and we hosted him for a little bit at our house. And he was like, I don't understand what the big issue is with wine for the Lord's Supper. It's in our history. And I was like, brother, there's two different histories. And he says, how are they going to preserve the grape juice unless they make it wine to observe the Lord's Supper? And I'm too emotional, so I have to step away from stuff like that, give up more time. Otherwise, I say stupid things. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Number one, God can. God doesn't know anything about science or fruit and vegetable. But to rely so much on history rather than what does the doctrine tell us? Now, God is smart. Did he not tell us as a church to call no man a father here? When did the Catholics say? Hundreds of years later, and guess what they call each other?
Right.
And then didn't he say, fruit of the vine? Why would it be there to the vine? Because God knows we're going to be drinking alcohol for the Lord's Supper. You know, and we know the reason why. Anyway. I got
it. So, Brother Nathan, because that same argument is what got brought up to me, and the same thing, you know, the rush of anger, because I'm like, oh, God, it's stupid. And so I found, and I didn't share this with any of them, but I found all the true history. Well, the way that they preserved it was they called it raisin wine, and they just dehydrated them, and then they add water to the raisins whenever they needed to make grape juice. And they had pallets that they stuffed with straw and layers and all that stuff. So they had ways. But then I'm like, you know what? God says fruit of the vine. And so I don't need the history. And so they will try to pull you in. And because it's really, really dumb, the things that they come up with. Or that the grapes naturally have yeast on the skin. And so it's not possible for it. And they're like, you're just stupid.
Yeah. I my parents had a vineyard and they had an orchard, and it was one of my favorite things to grab all the rotten grapes on the vagina and eat them, you know, because it's preserved with the yeast in there. That's
yep.
Brother Utah. Sorry.
I don't remember where it said it, but it talks about it not putting your wine into the folding jugs.
Yeah.
Because the worst. So basically, you don't do that because the contaminants will cause it to ferment. So if you put it into the new jug, it doesn't ferment.
Yes.
It is non-alcoholic and they don't work.
Yes. Yes. Also, fruit of dishonor.
Okay.
This church, while I was a member there, had an individual or two or three that once brought up, why does it have to be a grape? Why couldn't it have been a pomegranate?
It's not a vine.
The Testament says blood of the grape.
Yeah, blood of the grape.
You guys are getting all biblical. What is it? It's a pomegranate.
A tree already.
Tree. Fruit of the vine. Yeah, we can use that.
Then why not a prune?
Why not a prune? Why not a fork? Because, well, they're on trees. And does that make sense to you, or is it just me? They're on trees, not vines.
I heard tomato because it is a fruit.
Yeah.
It was on a vine.
Yeah, tomato's great. I love it.
It's full of tomato juice.
But all day now.
Right,
daughter, and
tomato juice.
Isaiah 65 here, verse 3, Rachel is coming.
I agree, that's good.
Florence from the time houses.
Okay, pardon. Isaiah. I do. I say weird names all the time. I don't mind it.
And they still. Having a question, you want to say, destroy it not, for blessing is in it. So what will I do for my servant's sake that I may not destroy them all?
All right. Thank you very much. And again, that's the same Hebrew word. So what is the cluster?
That's a group of alcohol.
But a group of alcohol. Thank you. That's
super safe. I think that's it.
So we're getting the point, right? New wine, grace, that's found in the cluster. It's fresh. It's fresh grape juice. Proverbs 3. On its way.
Let's talk about grape itself.
Grape itself. Yes. It is fresh, fruit of vine, right here. Proverbs chapter 3 here, verse number 10. I'm not going to talk about it a whole lot, but I want to emphasize it one last time. There is a lot of Proverbs that talk about the effects of alcohol. There is a figurative psychological effect of alcohol also, where these wild rides and these things become churches for people. That's the kind of thing. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in our society, a lot more than there is foolishness when it comes to that secular desire to drink. Not everybody is a blazing alcoholic. We got to quit thinking now. We got to quit teaching now. We have to teach what the Bible teaches for the purposes of why God gave us the doctrine. So we'll just leave that alone. Proverbs 3 and verse number 10. Let's see, Brother Trevor, would you like to read that one?
So shall thy barn be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out.
All right, thank you very much. Again, same Hebrew word. I like these type of passages because what is a press? Squeezes what? Out of?
Fruit. Right out of the fruit.
Okay, right out of the fruit. And so what comes out of the press?
Fruit.
Wine. There's that word wine. So what you're telling me is when they take the wine out of the vats and put it in the bottle, it's not new. Well, sure, it's new. Brand new. So be careful with your words. Look at the context. God is blessing you with these fruit juices that's fresh. And by the way, we're going to see some other words, hopefully, that's going to indicate that that's kind of high society with having that kind of fresh stuff. All right. All right. Any other comment questions? Micah 6? Yes.
Why would it ferment?
Just the impurity that's in there. So there is a fermenting process that happens with grapes naturally because of a little bit of that yeast, a little bit of sugar in the skin. It's not palatable. It's not, I mean, we call it alcohol poisoning for a reason. You know, when you're taking rotten fruit that has fermented, that's repulsive. You can get really sick. It's gross.
Sure.
But that's what happens. It becomes rotten.
It's not in the
What's that?
It's good in
It's
yes, relevant to
pass.
My son's trying to ruin a pop for me because he says it tastes like apple cider vinegar. I haven't made it. I forget if it doesn't. The vinegar is like that. I don't know who brings that stuff and you drink it. It's a bit like nauseous soaking about it. Was there another hand? Where are you guys from?
Oh, because of Christmas. They make their own alcohol.
Yeah.
Sometimes they
quite easily. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
It's to consume that. It's not. It's the violent. It's corrupt.
You know?
Yeah. Hey, I'm not stupid. I got saved when I was an adult. I've been around. The process of distilling and what that means, it's a purification process. You can't just drink stuff. So you got to do all these chemical things to it to make it drinkable so you don't die. But yet it whacks out your brain. And Sister Sarah Elrod, remember her, she did a little symposium that we built.
Yep.
And it wasn't just about drugs, but alcohol does have a physical effect on your brain.
Yep.
And for most, irreparable, it doesn't come back. I mean, that's it. You pride yourself on alcohol. You always blame drugs for priding people's brains. But alcohol does the same thing. It just ruins you for good. Micah 6. Verse 15. Oh, not Malibu. Let's see here. Seth, okay, did you read that one for us? Micah 6, verse 15.
Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil and sweet wine, but shalt not drink wine.
All right. So, you know, this is a negative passage, but the point of this is that they're going to have their wine presses, and they're going to have the grapes, but they're not going to drink because they're failing God in a lot of different areas. Lord, we'll lose down and say it. It talks about that too a little bit. It's the same word, it's the same Hebrew word, and it's wine. So we got to be really careful with that. Now, we're going to go to a different, oh, by the way, let's go to Deuteronomy 25. So this 6:15, sweet wine is the Hebrew 84:92 that we've been talking about. But shall not drink wine is going to be this 31:96.
Right.
Okay. You're not going to have fresh grapefruit and you're not going to drink grape juice. You're not going to have fresh grape juice and you're not going to drink it. So what does Deuteronomy 29 say? And this has been one that has compelled me over the years of having these debates and back in the day and this and that and all that. And so at some point, being taught the tabernacle or whatever it is, you come across this thing, you're like, wait a second, God is Savior? So Brother Austin, you could read verses 5-6.
I have led you 40 years in the wilderness, your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoes not waxing old upon thy foot. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know God, that I am the Lord God.
Okay. Was that something? Because we're going to look at another passage where God tells him to give a drink offering. So did God. So what is this one? Just looking at the context, what is he talking about?
I'm not drunk.
Are we confident?
Was in the same category, wine or
strong? Yeah, it's alcohol. Yeah. Did God? Was that something that God offered them, gave them, showed them?
No. Just a man for the priest not to do it or they would die.
Okay. We're getting into the reasons why. It's not because they were going to die. But they would die.
They would.
That's not why we don't drink. This wine, that's the same word that's found in that mouth, that Micah passage. It's the same Hebrew word. And it is defined as effervescence. Wine, by implication, intoxication, but wait, there's more. Banqueting or rich fare. Banqueting or rich fare. Wider. You guys are not going to have plenty. You guys are not going to be flowing with milk and honey. You guys are not going to have an abundance because you're not following me. You're going to work really hard and you're not going to get the fruits of your reward, or you're not going to get the fruits of your labor. Because wine doesn't always mean gall. We got that so far? Context will tell you what that wine means. But I'm glad that we're in agreement with that. Song of Solomon, 2:4. Because here's that same word, the Hebrew word, but it's not the same English word. Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 4. I'm not using any of the. I am speaking even the same way as some of them. Because there's still room for things in it. Let's see, Brother Jared, verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4.
He brought me to the banqueting house and his banner over me was love.
Did we sing that song, Phil?
So you know it good.
Yes. Do you know that song? Banqueting. That term right there, banqueting house, is the same Hebrew Yagin 3196, meaning effervescence, wine by implication, intoxication. That's one way that's more. Banqueting, and then I define banqueting. Banqueting is to have luxury and to be rich, to have great fare. Are you rich in the Lord? Boy, we have great fare in the Lord. We come to his table, it's amazing.
Yes, so the same word.
Same word.
Based on context. Sometimes bad.
Sometimes good. Based on context. Sometimes, because, and part of this is the debate that we might get with religion, is the mind and the way of God different than ours. You know, and I get into, and you know, sometimes the church wants to kick me out, they can't. I listen to every once in a while.
It's Cowboy
stuff. What's that?
Nicky Gilly.
Hey, I know me and Jesus are going to get along fine. Because I heard he turned the water into wine. That's the attitude of religion. The one God's in out. So it's okay for me to be wrong. And then to rationalize, what did Jesus say at the Lord's Supper? Once he gave them the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26, what did he say? So that's going to be in the kingdom of God, this fruit of the vine.
Alcohol, beverage, and heaven.
You see how humanistic we get and how religious we get about what we think even heaven and hell is. Hell's a big party. You know, I don't know how they keep that Colorado cooling and ice cold down there in the fires of hell, but they got it down there. Well, never mind. The Colorado cooling has nothing to do with the Rocky Mountains and none of that stuff. Leviticus chapter 10. So now we get to the Leviticus chapter 10 passage. Same Hebrew. Comments, questions? Yes.
So I did have a struggle with don't be giving over the blood. And I was like, I don't understand what that means or an excess. Don't be an excess of what overcome by work.
Actually, if you look up that word excess, it means lasciviousness. Yeah. That's what's inside of wine.
Yes.
But that's what the word excess means. Yes. It doesn't mean the amount.
Yes.
It literally means that's what's inside wine.
Context. Talking to a New Testament church, people behaving themselves, being wise in the world, redeeming time, being led by the Spirit. Much more than just focusing on alcohol. Leviticus 10. Let's see here. Brother Doug. Verses 8 through 11.
And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink. Now honor thy sons with thee when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, between clean, unclean, and clean. And that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses.
Okay, thank you very much. And again, that wine is the same Hebrew word that was translated to banquet. All right. So isn't that fun to do that? So I didn't even really get the etymology. I love etymology for me, so I'm sharing it with
you. I like etymology wine. Too. Wine right there and strong drink. What else can it be?
Exactly.
Study the words all you want to.
Yes.
That don't really matter. I mean, it answers itself.
Amen. That's part of it. And who are, was he talking to here again, by the way?
Greece.
Interesting. Stay good. Etymology. So, long, long time ago, there was a wild vine in southern Russia. And over the time, that vine was called wine. Is that interesting? How the words, they just kind of meld throughout languages. The word wine originates from the Latin word venom, which is believed to have come from the Greek word oinos. The Greek word oinos is thought to be derived from the Proto-Indo-European root huis, which means sap or juice. So what's the big deal about wine? I mean, there was a time where wine just meant juice. That's what it was used for. That's not a made-up thing. That's non-debatable. That's just the history of the way we use words. 1300, juice, liquid obtained by boiling herbs. Sorry. That was kind of, yeah, I had a reaction to that.
Yeah. 13.
Was it 10? I guess it would be
weird.
The sense of it. Garlic's not an herb. I don't know. People use it as an herb. It's bad.
Yeah, with your heart,
garlic. There's something happened to me. I got sick one time. Got a blood clot in my brain. It messed with my nose. Now I think it's weird. So juice started there in the 1300s. Sapling came from Latin. Ios meaning broth, sauce, juice, soup. So on and so forth. Fish soup.
Hearing so.
Watery parts of the vegetables from the early 14th century. And from 1828, it started to have an inference to liquor.
Oh.
And that's something. Anyways, just thought I'd share that.
No.
Proverbs 38. Point of doing stuff like that is. Mm-hmm. Words don't mean anything. The context you use back. Context adds it all. Sister Rhonda finishing her babies.
Yeah.
Everything was fine. She didn't want it quiet. So I'm pinching her. And she cried. Sister Kate, if you were giving me that look, first I got. Verse 4 and 5, if you would. Proverbs 31, verses 4 and 5.
It is not for kings it is not for kings drink wine or for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and break judgment of any of the other.
All right. So who was God talking to here?
Kings.
King Lemuel, specifically king. It's not for kings. Well, who was God talking to back there in Leviticus?
Priests.
The kingdom of priests.
Kings and priests. That's interesting. How are we supposed to use the Old Testament? Examples and learning. Matthew chapter 9.
So, who was Jesus? What's he called? Being a king?
He's also the
I heard it's like you said, but bottom line, if Jesus drank wine, if he went against the scripture,
amen.
Then.
Amen.
That's right, though.
Amen. Because he's the king.
It's not the king.
Love that. Let's see here. Matthew chapter 9, 17. Brother Eli, if you could read that.
Neither do men renew wine into old bottles, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles, and go up and river.
That one. Okay, so this is 36:31 in the Greek. Poinos. Primary word wine, literally or figuratively wine. Doesn't say intoxicating, effervescence, it just says wine, playing with our minds. It's that word wine again. It could be literal or figurative, but it's wine. You know what that word oinos in the Greek comes from?
Juice.
That Hebrew word 3196, banqueting. Effervescence. Intoxicating. The rich spirit. So what is this wine here? It's new wine. It's alcohol. It's alcohol. It's like using alcohol a lot for his ample. Yes.
Not to just get silent on the super thing to hear, but what if he is a wine member?
I got that one down here too. I'll let him get that.
Okay, front of Dan and I, that's the most of the arguments I've got.
Okay.
So wait, literally, you can pause that.
11, verse 19. We'll start up here at verse 15. Jesus is having an issue, right? Let's see. Did you read already?
First.
One verse? I'll let you read more. 15 through... Yeah, 19, I guess. But then verse 20, he's got that word there up reading. 15 through 19.
He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken his generation? Is it likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. But John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children.
Okay, so was Jesus a winebibber?
That's what he said.
Very volume.
He said.
Yes. The religion and the world and everybody. So winebibber, 36:30. Why not both I say? I don't know, maybe. A tippler, one who habitually indulges in the excessive use of spirituous liquors. A drunkard, a sot. It, however, signifies often a person who habitually drinks strong liquors without absolute drunkenness. Man, there's some science to this drinking. You can get pretty immune to it if you just stay at it every day and work hard at it. And what did Christ show that would cause him to even get that? It was totally fake and made up. It was just accusations. What's the definition of Satan?
Accuser.
He was accused of a lot of stuff. That's what a winebibber is. Jesus was a winebibber. Really? Just a drunk fool stumbling around talking about God?
It was literally, they would not have accused him of that if no, they never saw
for sure. Him. For sure.
They also didn't lie and didn't know the problem.
Yeah, never. They didn't hire false witnesses. They weren't paying money. So thank you for that. So there's a few words. We're running out of time. We got the 1 Timothy 3:8, not given to much wine, so an evening can drink a little bit, but not a lot. 1 Timothy, Brother Roger's favorite, 1 Timothy 5:23, if you have a stomach ache, throw down some liquor, makes everything better. Don't worry about the old-timey songs that sing about it makes your tummy burn when you drink it. No.
That is all.
He tells Timothy, use a little wine for the stomach's sake. Titus 2, not given to much wine again. Ephesians 5, be not drunk with wine, just drink it, stop it, two glasses. That's all you need. If you're a lightweight, half a glass. 1 Peter 4, excess of wine. So again, I want to emphasize three passages for us, and I'm giving you guys really the heart of the homework. Deuteronomy 29, God did not give Israel alcohol, period. They are a type, picture, and shadow of the New Testament church. God did not give the New Testament church. Proverbs 31, a king is not to drink any form of alcohol. In Revelation 1 and 5, I believe it is, chapter 1, chapter 5, we have been called kings. Leviticus 10, a priest was to not have any alcohol. Again, Revelation chapter 1, chapter 5, he's been called priest. Jesus Christ is our King of Kings. He is also our high priest. And then I love Genesis 49, where he washed his garments of the blood of the grapes. And also in that same verse in Lot, it's the same thing. Bible analysis, rightly dividing, understanding how to study. God's the same, filtering everything through the truth of God and through the scriptures. It's not hard to see God's stance on alcohol. But I beg of you, if you're dealing with a drunkard and they're ruining their lives, you're counseling them that they might stay alive, bust out some Proverbs. If there's a debate on how we as New Testament church members ought to behave ourselves in the house of God, stick with the reasons God gave the Levites and the kings. What are you supposed to be doing? And how does alcohol fit? It's all handled here, really.
Well, also, with the Lord's Supper there, they had the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Mm-hmm.
You literally could just go back to the Old Testament. They couldn't have any type of leaven in the house. They couldn't have had fermenting agents at all.
Yes.
And so even if you want to say that it's wine there, well, then he would have broke the law. You can't do that.
And at the risk of being a little bit funny about it, but still, honestly, how many times have we gotten into doctrinal fights as a Wonder Bread in the Lord's Supper?
Yeah.
Why do you guys got to go out of your way to make your own unleavened bread? Just go to the store, pick up a loaf. How often did you have to debate that and fight over that?
Bread's not fun. Bread's not enjoyable.
Bread's not fancy. Bread's not sitting down at a steakhouse and knocking back a glass of wine with your steaks.
Doesn't make you feel good.
It doesn't allow you to keep your bottle of Jack in the cup of special occasions every once in a while. I'm sorry. Sometimes I get stupid. This debate over alcohol is the reality of it is you have a lifestyle that you want to live and you don't let God get in your way. So you lie and make that stuff so you can have out of it.
You make it a bit.
All right, last thing, I asked this individual that's not part of the young preachers, but they are a member of the New Testament church, and they wanted to participate in the homework. And so I asked them if I could read a portion of their paper regarding forsaking assembly, and they agreed to it. And I thought it was very important to understand that this is why we teach church members, because they're going to start to see what their role is in life, not just for itself, but for other souls, and the importance of sticking to the scripture. In conclusion, here is my real-life example of forsaking the assembly. When I take our daughter to visit my family, we now stay in my grandparents' house due to the tension my parents have placed on our relationship from our differentiating beliefs on what the Bible says. When our visit falls on a Sunday or Wednesday, I get ridiculed from my parents about how God can understand that we are visiting family, how he wants us to have fun in this life. And often the term cult is thrown around. Why would God understand that I am going to miss services while visiting family when he died for the opportunity for me to go and worship him? I am raising my daughter to learn these things, Proverbs 22:6. Will she not see the hypocrisy of my actions if we do not go to church only when we're on vacation visiting family? Will she not one day possibly reject Jesus tugging on her heart because of this hypocrisy? I am to train her in the way she needs to go. Therefore, I need to go that way myself, or she may stray. I am an ambassador for Christ, which is a privilege, not a right. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, I should give no offense in anything, and not forsake the assembly, so that the ministry is not blamed. 2 Corinthians 6:3. There's a lot of depth now, sensitivity, as how this individual relates their church membership to her life. Do we get this? That forsaking the assembly has profound spiritual and possibly eternal effects on people around us, to include our very own present family, the ones that live in our homes. So this attitude of, and I love the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, so that the ministry is not blamed. So that people don't blame God. People don't blame the church. People don't blame the doctrines. Don't blame the Bible. Because you and I are hypocrites and don't know how to teach and love and show our children and family. This individual, Brother Christian here, had shared many occasions the battle that he has with his family, put God first. And the proverbial, so you're putting church and God above your family, has been thrown at him. Isn't that heartless? A cult. It's God wants you to have fun and enjoy life. That's what we get on. Same thing with fellowship. Same thing with drinking. Same thing with dancing. Same thing with all of this. What you're going to get inundated with. You young preachers, get the skill set to teach the Bible. Don't teach your opinion. Because as a conservative, I have a conservative opinion about how you ought to live your life. But as a New Testament church member, I have a rule of faith and practice. That's what I look at. I'm not teaching. Okay. So thank you so much for your participation. Anything else? No, let's stand. Have we leave here in prayer again?